This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1 as we continue going through this challenging letter that James has written to Jewish Christians who have been scattered abroad, Jews living outside the land of Israel because of persecution. And it was tough for them. It was persecution based on their faith in Jesus Christ. And as we saw last time, James opens up this letter dealing with trials that these Jewish Christians were facing. And it was not easy for them, not at all. They left everything. And James wants to encourage them to continue on in the faith, not to give up, because through all this, God is working in their lives. And we saw the following in regard to what these trials are to do in our lives, how we're to respond to things that come upon our lives. As we're going through trials, James says that we should count it all joy in the trials that come our way, that we understand that trials come upon our lives to test our faith, and that all that we go through are for the purpose of producing results in our lives, and we need to endure to the end. And lastly, we looked at that all that God is doing is leading to maturity and a completeness in our lives. And really what we're going to be studying this morning is born out of what James has just said regarding these trials that come upon our lives. I've called this study, What's Happening? Because I think that's the question many of us have, if not all of us, as we're going through tough times, as we're going through trials in our lives. I mean, things are happening. We're like, what in the world is going on? I don't get this anymore. What is happening? And yes, trials are not easy, and they're not meant to be easy. You see, God is working through these trials, testing our faith, helping us to grow, to mature us in the faith, as I've said. I'll share this story with you, and I'll kind of show you what I mean. Some years ago, in Dublin, a company of women met to study the Bible. And one of them was puzzled by the words of Malachi 3:3, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." After some discussion, a committee was appointed to call on a silversmith and learn what they could on the subject. And the silversmith readily showed them the process. "But sir," said one, "do you sit while the refining is going on?" "Oh, yes, indeed," he said. I must sit with my eyes steadily fixed on the surface. For if the time necessary for refining is exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver is sure to be damaged. And once they saw the beauty and comfort of the scripture passage, as they were leaving, the silversmith called after them, "Oh, one more thing. I only know when the process is complete by seeing my own image reflected on the silver." And isn't that what the Lord is doing with us? He's watching our lives. You know, we think that we're going through this on our own. Where is God in all this? He's right there with us, working in our lives. You know, I love my wife dearly, and, you know, sometimes the things she says just makes me crack up. Things are going on in her lives, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and she'll say something like this. She'll say, "You know, I wish God would just give me the 5-year plan. You know, just show me all the things that are going to happen for 5 years. At least I know what's coming my way." How many of you experience that God gives the 5-year plan? Good, because I've never experienced that, and neither has my wife. What he does is he shows us what's happening here and now. He tells us to take one step at a time, and it's hard. But as we're going to see this morning, God says, you know, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, right? We know trials will come our way. And yeah, we don't like it. You know, James says, count it all joy. Think about this. You remember all that Job went through, the testing of his faith? Turn to Job chapter 28. Keep your hand in James. We're going to get there. If you get to Psalms, it's one book to the left of Psalms. Job chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 12 through 22. Here was a guy who went through some intense, intense trials in his life. And Job's friends, his counselors, the ones who gave Job foolish advice. And Job said to them, starting here in verse 12, he said, "But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It is not in me,' and the sea says, 'It is not with me.' It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, For the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. Now, as we're going to see this morning, James is going to answer that question for us. But notice what Job says. Continue on. Look at verse 23. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. Here's the thing. God understands its ways, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and mete out the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it and prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. How important it is. God has the wisdom that we need. And for every situation we find ourselves in, God has that wisdom. The problem is we don't ask, right? We don't seek his direction for our lives, but we need to, so we know how to respond, what we should do. You know, I don't think in this life we'll fully understand all that God is doing. I don't think we will. But here's the thing. Can we trust him? Can we place our faith in the one who loves us and knows exactly what each of us need? James is helping us understand that here. In spite of all we're going through, James is saying, or will go through, we can come before God and ask for wisdom in what we're facing. This whole chapter, James chapter 1, is dealing with the believer and suffering. And we don't like to link the two together, believer and suffering, do we? We want to keep them apart. Hey, I'm a believer. I don't want to suffer. And some people just basically say, hey, if you're a Christian, everything is great in your life. And I don't know how people sit and listen to that, because in reality, that's not true. We all face struggles. We all face trials in our lives. And what we do when we come to church is we put on a facade. How you doing? I'm doing great. Everything is fine. Liar. That is not true. But it's what we say, don't we? It's kind of a facade. We go through struggles. We go through difficulties. And the thing is, if all of us say everything is fine, when someone is really having a really, really difficult time, how is that going to help them? I mean, think about what God does in the Bible. Look at all the people in the Bible, godly men, godly women. And you look at their lives, and they screw up. And they have difficulties. And I say, praise God that these people in the Scriptures are not perfect people, who have no problems, that everything is perfect in their lives, because that would not encourage me. But as I read their stories, I go, wow, look at the lessons I can learn from them as they went through these things. And that's what God has done. These things were written beforehand that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, Paul said, might have hope. Exactly. This morning, we're going to look at, in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and we're going to look at basically 3 points and a conclusion. In James 1, 5, the focus is ask for wisdom. In verse 6, ask in faith. In verses 7 and 8, results of not asking in faith. And then we'll bring it to a conclusion. And really, these verses that we're looking at this morning are born out of what James has just said in verses 2 through 4. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance or perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. So with that as our background, we're going to look at this topic, the believer and suffering. And as we go through these difficult times, the message, what is happening? Look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, here's the thing. There is a distinction between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is information. And more importantly for us as Christians, it's the truth of God found in the Word of God. That's knowledge. And I believe that James is tackling this subject of trials in our life, knowing that we have this knowledge already. We already know the truth of God found in the Word of God. Wisdom is different. Wisdom is taking that knowledge, that information, the truth of God found in the Word of God, and applying it to our lives. It's walking according to what God's Word has to say, and not by our feelings or emotions or whatever. I mean, think about it. And I've used this example before, but, you know, on cigarette cartons or boxes, it says, you know, the Surgeon General has warned that cigarette smoking may cause cancer or heart disease or whatever. There's different things that it says on there. That's knowledge. That's information. And I'm not coming against people who smoke here. That's between you and the Lord. That's not the point. The point is the information. There's a warning there. So you have the information. Now, what are you doing with that information? If you're still smoking, you're not having wisdom, okay? Cigarette smoking causes a lot of issues here. The wisdom is, I'm not going to smoke. You understand that? The difference between knowledge. A lot of people have information, the right information. They just don't apply it to their lives. Think about it. Look at scientists today. We have so much knowledge about life, the complexity of life. Did you know encoded in our DNA are 3.1 billion letters of information? Just the DNA, 3.1 billion. It would take, if you counted three letters per second, it would take you 31 years to do that. Crazy. And what do scientists do with that information? They have all this information, the complexity of a cell. Years ago, they thought the cell was simple, and they called it a simple cell. Today, we understand the complexity. It's not able, it even reproduces itself. I mean, it's an incredible, you call it a machine, because it is. It's a factory. And so what do scientists do with that information? It happened just by random chance. You see, they have the right information. They have all this information that life is so complex, it's beyond any mathematical probability that life could happen from non-life. It's beyond that. But now they take the right information and they don't use it wisely. How does something gain information? It can't. It has to be programmed. Oh, and it was by our Creator who created the heavens and the earth and all life. You see, scientists have even gone another step because a lot of these guys realize, man, there is no way, it is impossible for life to evolve from non-life. It just can't happen. But they don't want to acknowledge the Creator God. So some of them believe that aliens put life here on Earth. All right, well, that's not science, it's science fiction, but okay. Other people feel it's intelligent design. So they're getting closer, but they refuse to acknowledge that it's the Creator of heaven and earth, it's Almighty God. They understand there has to be intelligent design to give us life. But they refuse to acknowledge the truth that there is a Creator God and we know who He is. You see, here's the thing. When we're going through difficult times, when our life seems like it's a mess, do we need more knowledge? No, we really need wisdom. What do I do with this now? How do I respond? You know, someone once said that knowledge is the ability to take things apart. Wisdom is the ability to put things together. All right, things are falling apart around me. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? You see how important that is? And I think many times we lack wisdom because we don't ask. And I understand, you know, you may be thinking, well, yeah, but the situation I'm going through, the Bible, doesn't directly speak about it. Well, yeah, the Bible doesn't give us specific answers to all the problems that arise in life. It doesn't really solve problems in so many words, but God's Word gives us principles. And we need to apply those principles to the problems we face. We need wisdom, spiritual wisdom, to apply to our lives every day. You know, God wants us to seek His wisdom. He wants to give us wisdom so we could walk accordingly. And if you want wisdom, go to the Word of God, right? The Bible, that's where you need to start. There are a lot of people who will tell you this is what you need to do. But is it what God wants you to do? See, that's the key. You know, Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Ask and walk accordingly. You know, I like what Spurgeon said, because I think he nailed it. He said, we are also ready to go to books, to go to men, to go to ceremonies, to anything except to God. Consequently, the text does not say, let him ask books, nor ask priests, but let him ask of God. How simple. I'm not saying we can't learn from books. We can learn from even other Christians. Why don't we, though, bring these things before God and ask for his wisdom? Well, God doesn't speak to me. I don't get, you know, the wisdom. I don't think that's true. I may not like the wisdom that God has given me, right? That's usually the problem. But it's not about us choosing. It's about what God has said. And I can be totally confident that God will give me the wisdom that I need. Because that's what James says, that God gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is so generous that he gives to us exactly what we need. In fact, I think many times more than what we need. And he does so without reprimanding us or putting us down. And God wants to give us this wisdom. It's the open hand of God, not the clenched fist of God. And, you know, think about the days we're living in, the information that's being thrust upon us. And it's increasing so much, I don't even think we can comprehend all the information that's out there. Knowledge doubled from 100 BC to 1700 in 1800 years. It doubled from 1700 to 1900 in 200 years. It doubled from 1900 to 1950 in 50 years. Knowledge doubled. It was 1800 years. 50? From 1950 to 1970 in 20 years. 70 to 80, 10 years. 80 to 88, 8 years. It's doubling every 12 months, and many feel it's going to double every 12 hours. How do you keep up with that? Online information doubles every 6 months. Biological information doubles every 18 months. Corporate information doubles every 18 months, and so does genetic and technical knowledge and clinical knowledge every 18 months. So we have all this knowledge out there. All this information, it's doubling quickly. What are we lacking? Wisdom. How do we apply these things to our lives? You know, I think of wisdom as common sense sometimes. You know, it's just common sense. And many people just don't have that. And they're not applying the wisdom that God has given to them. You know, Professor Alan Bloom touched on this in his book. It's called The Closing of the American Mind. And this is what he wrote. He says, my grandparents were ignorant people by our standards. And my grandfather held only lowly jobs. But their home was spiritually rich because all the things done in it. Not only what was specifically ritual found their origin in the Bible stories and the commentaries on them, and had their imaginative counterparts in the deeds of the myriad of exemplary heroes, my grandparents found reasons for the existence of their family and their fulfillment of their duties in serious writings. And they interpreted their special sufferings with respect to a great and ennobling past. And then the punchline from him. He said, I do not believe that my generation, my cousins who have been educated in the American way, all of whom are MDs or PhDs, have any comparable learning. When they talk about heaven and earth, the relations between men and women, parents and children, the human condition, I hear nothing but cliches, superficialities, and the material of satire. We've lost that ability to take what we know, the truths of God found in the Word of God, and apply them to our lives. There's always a new book, a new teaching. You know, and I'm just throw this out at you. 40 Days of Purpose. Well, 40 Days of Purpose? Why don't I just dig into God's Word and see what He's got for me? You see, why do I need a man to tell me what my purpose in life was for? I really don't. And I said, like I said before, there's nothing wrong with learning from books as long as they're biblically correct. But are these things, are we using these things to help us instead of God's word? And there's so many things out there. I need this, I need that. And what I don't hear is, I just need to pray. I just need to seek God's direction in this. We don't seem to hear that anymore. And then we wonder, I just don't know what to do. Well, have you asked? Have you sought direction from God? Well, I read this book. No, that's not what I'm asking you. Have you sought direction from God? My marriage is a mess. I don't know what to do. Okay. You know the truth of God found in the Word of God. Of course I do. How's your walk with God? What do you mean? Why are you reading God's Word? Are you praying? Are you going to church? What are you doing? You see, it's like a triangle. Husband, wife, and God at the top. And your relationship with your spouse will never be close unless your relationship with God is close. There's the wisdom. I need to draw close to God. This is going to help not only my relationship with my wife, but my relationship with everyone. You see, you've got the truth of God. I know how I'm supposed to act, but I'm not doing the things I need to. So that's not wisdom. I'm sure all of you remember the story of Solomon. Here was a man who asked for wisdom from God on how to rule a nation. And what a godly example. In 1 Chronicles 1:10, Solomon prayed, "Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" And in 1 Kings 3:5, we're told that the Lord met with Solomon in a dream when he was at Gibeon, where the tabernacle was located. And he just wants wisdom to rule God's people by. And Solomon, he was young, probably in his 20s. What a responsibility. Remember what his father David said to him in 1 Chronicles 29:1 and 22:12. David told him, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God." And Solomon is just echoing the prayers of his father David. God would give him wisdom and understanding to lead his people. He couldn't do it on his own. That's great. And God gave him the desire of his heart. Solomon did not ask for personal gain, and God blessed them abundantly. And then comes the incident in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 27. And he needed wisdom to decide what to do. Two harlots both gave birth to sons within a three-day period. They lived together, and one night one of the mothers rolled over and suffocated her child while she was sleeping. And she took this dead child and switched him with the other child, hoping to fool her friend. And when she awoke and examined the child, she knew that this wasn't her son. And they bring the case before Solomon, the king. What was he going to do? How do you decide? I mean, there wasn't DNA testing, right? Interestingly enough, Solomon's solution to the problem was, you know what? Bring the child here, get out a sword, cut the child in two, give a half to each mother. Like, that is the craziest thing in the world. No, it was the wisest thing in the world to do. Imagine how the birth mom felt. She was like, no, just give her the child. Well, the mom who was not the birth mom said, yeah, cut the child in two. Solomon was very wise in what he said. And he gives the child to the birth mom. That's wisdom. In fact, it says, "All Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." Absolutely. They saw that the wisdom of God was in him. We need to take that time to ask God for wisdom in a given situation. It's important. Remember what Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." That is so important because my understanding can be flawed. It can be wrong. I need to trust in the Lord, not lean on my own understanding. When I look at things, I may not see the full picture, but God does. So I need to trust in him because he's going to direct my paths. He's going to show me what to do. He's going to help me in what to say in a given situation. And I can tell you, in the situations that I've been in, all the years that I've been up here, I'm always amazed because I've prayed for God to give me wisdom in these situations and make it clear, what do I do? When do I do it? And He's done so much more. I mean, it was so black and white that it made the decision very easy. And what's amazing is because even afterwards, after I go and I do what I needed to do, there's a little doubt. You know how the enemy goes, was that the right thing to do? And then you start doubting yourself. And God is so gracious and merciful that He always brings in someone else to say, hey, you know what? This was what, you know, happened here. Or this is here. That was a great thing to do. And it encourages me. You know what, Lord? You were right. I'm sorry that I even doubted afterwards. How important it is. I'm amazed how accurate God is. You know, it's kind of funny to say that, isn't it? God, you're so accurate. It's amazing. But He's God. Of course He's accurate. When I try to do it on my own, I'll mess it up. There is no doubt. I mean, you should have seen some of the home projects that I've tried to do. Oh my gosh, you know? I tried to change, in our old house back in Illinois, I was trying to change a fan and a heater unit in our family room. And I thought I turned off the power. The key word, thought, okay? And my wife, you know, she's always terrified when I do anything like that. She's ready to hit 911. And I took the screwdriver and hit something where, wow, I got the shock of my life. I flew off the ladder, and it was an amazing thing. I don't do many projects like that anymore. I don't think my heart could take it. Yeah. But you see, my wisdom, that was wrong. And my wife, you know, kept saying, did you turn off the circuit breaker? Yeah, yeah, yeah. She kept saying it. Do you think I would listen and even check?
No.
No. And, well, I got a shock for that. We need to ask God for wisdom. Isn't that simple? It's not like God says, I want you to crawl to some mountain, and then I want you to offer some sacrifice. I want you to do this. No, He says, just ask. How much more simple can that be to ask? Well, look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So we're not only to ask for wisdom, but when we ask, we need to ask in faith. And that's really the Christian life, isn't it? A life of walking in the faith. When you were saved, you believed by faith in the promises of God. You didn't get a signed document with your name on it saying, you know, so-and-so has an entrance into the kingdom of God. There are no emails or text messages or anything like that. How do you know that you're saved? How? Well, the only way you know is that you believe by faith in the promises of God that are found in the Word of God. We believe that the Bible tells us that we are sinners separated from God. There are none good, not even one. We're condemned to hell for our sins. That's the bad news. And then comes the good news, comes the gospel message. That God became flesh, dwelt among us. By His atoning work on the cross of Calvary and His resurrection from the dead, our sins were paid in full. And by repenting of our sins and asking Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our lives, we're saved. That's faith, trusting in the promises of God, and we do that for our salvation. But when it comes to trials, when it comes to difficulties in our lives, what happens many times is we toss faith aside, and what do? We become angry. We become bitter. We become discouraged and hopeless and so on. God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? You know what I'm doing for you, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Not a good place to be. You know, Paul said in Hebrews 11, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Our life begins in faith. And for many, that's where it ends. But it's not to be the case, guys. Keep in mind that James is writing to these Jewish Christians who were immature in the faith, and he wanted them to grow up. Paul in Hebrews was writing to Jewish Christians who were being persecuted as well. And so faith not only begins our Christian life, but it's something to be exercised throughout our Christian life until we go home to be with the Lord. So as we go through various trials, we ask for wisdom and faith, not doubting God's word or his ability to give us the wisdom that we need. And if you end up doubting God's word, you don't trust God, then your actions will reflect that attitude. Spurgeon put it like this. He wrote, "You know, dear friends, that there is a way of praying in which you ask for nothing and get it." Interesting, huh? But true. Now, why in the world would we doubt that God would give us wisdom for the situation we're in? Why do we ask God apart from faith, not trusting in him? There's a couple of reasons. You know, some Christians who believe that they're not worthy to receive anything from the Lord, right? Why would God do that for me? I'm not worthy. I'll let you in on a little secret. You're right. None of us are worthy. It's not because we're so good. It's not because we're worthy. It's because of his wonderful grace that he's given to us. So you can throw that one out. It's irrelevant. Many feel that they're not important to God, that God's too busy. Well, again, that makes no sense. God became flesh, dwelt among us to go to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins because he loves us that much, and now he's going to ignore you because he's too busy. God's not too busy, okay? And others don't seek the wisdom of God in a situation. They don't ask God for his wisdom because they're angry with God for allowing this to come into their life in the first place. But God is working. You know, our life is not a mess. It's exactly what God wants us or we need to go through. It's the testing of our faith. It produces patience, endurance, James said. It's working in us that we may become perfect or mature, complete, lacking nothing. God's working in us so he can work through us. And here's the thing. And I thought about this question. When I was thinking about it, at first I thought it was an easy question. And then I thought about it some more. I thought, you know what, there's more to it than that. And I may have shared this with you before, but here's the question. If I could go back, if you could go back and change the things that happened to me, to you, in your life, in my life, would I change anything? Would you change anything? Think about all that you've gone through in your life. All the difficulties you went through. All the bad decisions you made. Would you change anything? The easy answer is, of course I would. There are things that happen in my life that, man, I would not want to go through again. I would just eliminate it, and it would be better. I came to the conclusion that I wouldn't want to change anything because all the things that happened in my life is making me the man that I am today. As hard as it is, God was working through those tough times. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't go through those tough times, I will go through those tough times, okay? Because those are lessons I need to learn. And I think that's important. You know, sometimes we lose sight that God is working because it is overwhelming, isn't it, sometimes? But God is in control. Think about it. He's in control of the entire universe. The billions upon billions of billions and billions of stars, all the planets, everything that's out there, he's in control of. He knows the very numbers of hairs on your head. Is he in control? Absolutely. Then why don't I feel like it? Because the things that are happening in your life and feelings can mess us up. Whoa, whoa, feelings, right? And I won't sing it because that would be scary. But how true that is. Feelings mess us up. Let's get back to the correct perspective. God's in control. Lord, what are you showing me? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Ask for wisdom, and he will give it to you. Do you think God is just going to ignore us? I don't believe that's true. It's not what his word says. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And James says, look, you know, a person who doesn't ask for wisdom and faith, and we'll deal with that more in a few minutes, but it's like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. This is kind of a roller coaster faith. And what I mean by that is their faith is up and it's down. And it's up again and it's down again. And it's just like, you know, how riding a roller coaster. You're up and down, it's a great ride, but it's not a great way to live out your faith. One minute trusting God to help you, the next minute, you're not. And this is what James is dealing with, this immaturity with these Jewish believers. You know, Paul is talking in Ephesians 4 about false doctrine coming into the church, but he said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Let's apply this to, you know, the things that are happening in our lives. We shouldn't be tossed all over the place in regard to our faith. We need to stand strong because God is with us. And I'm not saying, please, don't come to the conclusion that we, you know, never doubt or have struggles. The thing is, can we get back to the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to comfort our lives and guide us instead of feelings or emotions or situations? Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 1 and listen to what we're told here. We're told, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and he preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness." Wow, I mean, what is being said here is, look, ask God for wisdom in what you should do, where you should go, how you should live out your life. Apply these things. It's not just the head knowledge, it's living it out. Very wise words. And you have to be in God's Word. And God will speak to you as you're reading through His Word, as you're digging into His Word. The psalmist said, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the God, for the living God." Do we hunger and thirst to know God more and more? We need to. And the way you get to know God is by reading His Word and letting His Spirit open up the Word of God to your heart, to your lives. It's not just the information, it's the application. And what we see in Proverbs chapter 2 here is that if you receive my words, if you incline your ear to wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, crying out to God for understanding, if you seek her as silver, if you search for her as for hidden treasure, the result will be that you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How wonderful that is. That's perfect. That's what I need. That's what I'm seeking. God doesn't hide His wisdom for us, but He does want us to, from us, He does want us to dig it out, to search for it. And I truly believe if God's Word is important to you, then you will dig out these nuggets, and if it's not important, you won't. And I think, you know, the things gleaned from God's Word can change our life, whereas the things of the world tend to either be useless or they don't help us, and many times they can hurt us. They bring us down. Obviously not everything, but with God, it's never, never for our destruction. It's always to build us up, to edify us, to restore us or whatever. And I'll give you one example of something that may look great, but it's really of no value. And I'm not picking on this group of people, okay? If anyone is a bodybuilder here, forgive me, okay? You can holler at me afterwards. But a bodybuilder, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, not so much with me. But what are they doing? They're building up their muscles. Man, they got muscles where I didn't even think you had muscles, right? It's incredible. They look awesome. What's the purpose? Stand in the mirror or to show everyone my muscles. Which way's the beach, right? It's no help. You know, we need to set our priorities to know, to understand the fear of the Lord, and He will give us the wisdom that we need in life. And if you don't, really, that's kind of what James is going to deal with next. We covered it a little bit. But remember, ask for wisdom and ask in faith. And look at verses 7 and 8 here in James 1. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So ask for wisdom and ask in faith. But the results of not asking in faith, you're not going to get anything. If you're double-minded, you're unstable. You know, John Bunyan in his classic Pilgrim's Progress called this person Mr. Facing Both Ways. You know, it's physically impossible to do, isn't it? Yeah. And I think it's spiritually impossible to do, and yet we try it. Many times what happens is everything is a crisis for this person. He's tossed to and fro and goes through various trials. And the Lord's saying, look, you're not receiving because you're double-minded. You lack faith. You're not even trusting in me. Just turn to me, ask, and I'll give it to you. And James says, you know, in verse 6 and verse 8, they are like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, unstable in all his ways. It's just going nowhere, out of control, and a ride to nowhere. And God is crying out to us, I don't want you to go down that road. And God is not looking for perfection in our lives because He would never find it. He's looking for men and women of faith that trust His word. We look at Abraham and even Moses. They weren't perfect, were they? And yet God used them in a mighty way. We all wrestle with doubt from time to time. What James is speaking about here is someone who has two minds, you might say. He looks to God, but then I guess sees no need for God, or the situation overwhelms him. He blames God for what's happening, and it's a roller coaster ride. And God said, just look to me, seek me, ask, and I'm going to give you the wisdom you need for the situation. Here's the thing. So God gives us the wisdom. What about the situation? It's still there. But He gives us the wisdom how to handle it. It encourages us because we know that He's with us. We can go through these times and we can grow. And really, Christian maturity is all about being single-souled or making a full commitment to God, no matter what comes your way. We've got to trust in Him. Now, Spurgeon said this. He said, do you believe that God can give you wisdom and that He will do so if you ask Him? Then go at once to Him and say, Lord, this is what I need. Specify your wants, state your exact condition, lay the whole case before God with as much orderliness as if you were telling your story to an intelligent friend who was willing to hear it and prepared to help you. And then say, Lord, this is specifically what I think I want, and I ask this of Thee, believing that Thou can give this to me. Now, I don't think Spurgeon was, you know, naming it and claiming it or blabbing it and grabbing it, but he was asking God, Lord, this is what I think I need. But always, Lord, your will. Show me what I need to do in this situation. I think this is what I need to do. I think these are the steps I need to take, but I'm not sure. And I'm seeking your direction. I'm seeking your guidance. And He'll give us the wisdom. If you're not walking in faith, if you're not seeking His wisdom, it's a mess out there. So you ask for wisdom. And you ask in faith. And again, we don't always like what God is doing because it's not easy. We may not even fully understand all that God is doing. Here's the thing. Can we trust in Him? I mean, for my wife, the last couple of years have been, well, we've been helping doctors and surgeons go on vacation for the last couple of years because we've been going so much. I mean, she had her shoulder surgery, knee surgery, her pancreatic cyst. She had, what else? Back surgery. Yeah, I even forgot that one. That was probably the biggest one. Steve remembered that. Thank you, Steve. And now she has this huge thyroid mass that she has to have taken out. And we're like, you know, we were just getting over this pancreatic cyst that is precancerous and dealing with that. And like, okay, then she got lupus. And we're like, okay, so now she's on medication for that. And, you know, it's going to take, you know, several months to, start working and helping. And we're like, okay, we're through this now. Let's go on. And then one morning she wakes up, she goes, Joe, I think there's something in my neck here. And you know me, you know, I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll go check it out. Oh my gosh, you got a lump there. You need to get that checked out. So we go through all the, you know, doctors, and we go to the ENT doc, and he pulls the scan up on the screen. He's like, wow. You know, you really don't want to hear a doctor say that, you know? He was just blown away by it, how big it was. And so that's going to be taken out on the 21st. I'm not going to say, well, we're done now. I'm just going to, Lord, and you know what? If it wasn't for the Lord, I don't even know where I'd be. I mean, just all the things that are going on. But I can say, Lord, you are in control. And you know, the things that God has done is his, you know, for years I've been trying to run again and I wasn't able to do it. And 2 years ago I was able to start running again. I don't know why, it just did. And it's given me the energy to be able to help out at home, because with her back surgery, Julie wasn't able to cook for, well, it's been a long time. So God gave me the strength. I need it. So I look at that and go, wow, Lord, instead of complaining, I'm like, thank you, Lord, because now I can take care of her and I have the energy to do it. God is amazing. I think we miss it sometimes because we're so overwhelmed by everything that is happening in our lives. But I look to him and I go, well, Lord, you will see us through this. I don't know how, but I'm going to trust in you. And there are reasons. I mean, think about Habakkuk. Habakkuk, southern kingdom of Judah, before the Babylonians were going to come in and invade the southern kingdom of Judah. He's just crying out to God. He sees all these things happening. He's seeking direction. He's not sure what God is doing. And God basically says to Habakkuk, if I tell you, you're not going to even believe what I tell you. And Habakkuk's like, tell me. Well, the Babylonians are going to come in and they're going to take you captive and the city's going to be destroyed. I don't believe it. I told you. And sometimes that's how we are. God, show me. Oh, I don't. No. But in the end, Habakkuk said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. In other words, what Habakkuk finally came to the conclusion was, it didn't matter what came upon me. I'm going to trust in the Lord, and he will see me through no matter what comes my way. It wasn't what he wanted. It's what God was doing. And he trusted in the Lord, and he gave him the strength to endure. You know, another person in the Bible, Jacob, interesting guy, heel catcher, conniver, schemer, his name means, was on the run from his brother Esau. And he's on the run. He's going to his uncle Laban's house for safety. And he stops in Bethel. And this is what's said. It says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And isn't that how many of us live out our Christian lives? Lord, if you get me out of this jam, I'm going to serve you, man. Lord, if you bring my wife back to me, I'm with you. Lord, if I get that promotion at work, you know I'm going to tithe or whatever. You don't make deals with God. You serve him because he is God. And we serve Him in spite of what we're going through. Because as we've seen, all that we're going through, there is a reason. God is growing us, maturing us in the faith. He's testing our faith through the trials. And so we need to ask for wisdom and ask in faith. Not being double-minded because the results of not walking in faith is not good. There was a minister who was telling the story about it in his first parish. A banker occasionally came to his church. And every time he came, the minister happened to be preaching on faith. And one day the banker said to him, you know, why don't you preach on something other than faith? Why don't you preach on something practical? Well, it's amazing how God works. A few days later, there was a run on his bank. And the minister went down to see what was going on. And he found the people demanding their money. They were alarmed and suspicious. And the banker was going up and down the line and saying to these people, everything is all right. There's nothing wrong with the bank. And the minister came by, touched him on the shoulder and said, what is the matter? Why, he said, there is nothing wrong, but these people have lost faith in the bank. And the minister replied, do you remember when you told me to preach on something more practical than faith? And he said, oh yes, I remember it very well. And I take it all back. After all, there is nothing so fundamental to the business interest and commercial life as faith. And there's nothing as important to our spiritual lives as faith. Trusting in the Lord, trusting what He is showing us, no matter how difficult it may be. The title again of this message, what is happening? And I'm sure we've all wondered that. But I pray this morning that you've seen in our study that God is in control. He allows things to happen in our lives for a reason, to test our faith, like I said, to help us to grow, to mature. So as we're going through these things, can we be men and women who ask for wisdom from God? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? And when we do ask, may we ask in faith, believing that He's going to answer us, show us, and then not only receive it, but apply it to our lives. God is calling to us and He's ready to give us wisdom, guys, in the situations that we face in life. We need to ask in faith. And God is an amazing God. He will give to us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I thank Him so much that I can run to Him and lay my request at His feet. Seek His wisdom, and He's right there, ready to give it to me, to you. But you have to ask and ask in faith. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. And Lord, we don't try to negate the difficulties that come upon our lives or water them down or say that they're nothing or just toughen up. But we understand they're very hard. And sometimes they're overwhelming. But Lord, You never asked us to carry these burdens, but to give them to You, to lay them at Your feet and to seek Your wisdom as we're going through these times. That Lord, we can have that joy no matter what we're going through. Because our joy is in You. Thank You so much for the lessons here this morning. I know that these are not here for no reason. These lessons are here for us to learn and apply. And every one of us, either we're going through a difficult time now or we will be. It's just the way life is. And now we know what to do, Lord. Help us to follow You, to seek You, to ask for the wisdom we need and to ask in faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.